In this episode of How Not to Sail, I get to take my recently discovered brother sailing.
Yeah, it's a slow and steady kind of traveling.
I'm reminded once again how one should not try to plan too big of a cruise.
Unless we're going to motor the whole time, then it'll probably take a bit longer.
We'll see how Brother Pete does his first time on the salty water.
Is there a nautical term for when you're doing this?
Which thing?
Pulling really slowly.
And I'll probably figure out a few things not to do.
Well, I tried to swing over here. Here it comes. Boom. There we go.
What could possibly go wrong? How Not to Sail. Sponsored by our awesome Patreon crew and America's number one boating lifestyle magazine, Latitudes and Attitudes. They ruin my life, so why not let them ruin yours today at latsats.com. It all started when I was a baby. No, really, I was adopted, you see. I grew up an only child, which may account for some of my quirkiness and my tendency to like privacy. A few years ago, I was lucky enough to be reunited with my birth mother, and I found out I had four siblings who were as surprised as I was at this turn of events. Recently, I invited my brother Pete, who thought he was the oldest for 40 years, to go sailing with me. Since Pete had been sitting in an airport up north for, 500 hours or something, waiting on his flight, of course I had to wear my What Could Possibly Go Wrong t-shirt when I went to pick him up.
I wore the shirt for you.
There you go. Yeah, nailed it.
Wow. Apparently he took the experience much better than I would have.
All right, let's do this then.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't ever intend to spend that much time in Flint consecutively again.
And if you thought camping out all night at the airport was the only thing Pete had to deal with, then there was the lost luggage thing.
So they got a hold of this person that was an hour and 20 minutes away from the airport at home with my luggage, and they drove it back to me.
Wow.
We now have almost a day less for Pete's vacation, and I think my initial plan was pretty optimistic anyway. So I've made some changes to the itinerary that I think will prove to be smart.
I moved Sarasota to tomorrow and canceled Venice because that seemed like just work. So today we got to know where we got to be, and tomorrow we can go to Sarasota, which is nice. And
perfect.
Have dinner there. And
I think I've learned to start keeping my cruise planning a little bit more realistic lately. The New Year's Eve overnight trip to Burnt Store Marina with the Admiral just about wiped me out. There's so many places to go, and I wanted to show Pete what the cruising life is all about. But as anyone who's done a little cruising can tell you, it's easy to get the big eye when planning your trip. And anyway, Pete hadn't even been on the ocean yet. What could possibly go wrong? I have to say, Pete's stamina kind of impressed me.
Are you thinking you're hungry or sleepy or I'm sure all of the above? Or?
No, I'm going to push through. I'm not planning on sleeping until I have to.
In fact, he may have been a little more gung-ho than me.
You got any type of trips that'll take us to a late dinner somewhere?
Probably by land.
Oh, okay.
As usual, the number of pre-cruise tasks has expanded, and I'm not really quite ready to cast off just yet.
Yeah, I still haven't finished all my doings, but I tightened the fan belt, checked the fluids, made sure the engine starts. Oh, 90 minutes washing bird stuff.
Well, who'd have thought? It wasn't all scrubbing bird poop and tightening fan belts, though.
Got into five beers last night, did you?
Three and a half, because I spilled half of the first one. I gave Peter one, then I had the remaining three and a half.
At any rate, sailing for tomorrow is looking pretty good, unlike yesterday when I arrived.
Man, it was really choppy out.
Yeah, I'm sure it can get too windy for you in your boat.
Yeah.
Which leads me to an embarrassing confession.
The thing is, I don't know how to reef the sail, which should be a skill that I have. So the main, it's either up or it's down.
Hopefully we won't have to do anything complex like reefing a sail.
And then tomorrow it's from the east, which is perfect because we're going south.
Okay.
That's what makes us...
Work your magic sail angles?
Yeah. When it's 90 degrees from the way we want to go, that's pretty awesome.
Finally, we get to the marina and some nautical scenery.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, you?
Very good, thank you.
And Pete gets his first glimpse of our new home for the next few days.
There she blows.
Excellent. I'm on my bucket list right here.
I start by showing Pete how to get on and off the boat.
There is a way to get on and off.
Okay.
These shrouds here are good to hold. These things that are like rope, that involve rope, are not.
Okay.
Hopefully my little speech is making sense.
And get both feet on the tow rail and then do this number. And for the egress, it's the exact opposite. There you go.
I'm in.
You want me to put that below here?
There's a room?
Oh, yeah.
I give him a quick tour of the boat.
So this thing's equipped with like refrigerator, some small fridge, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there's a fridge, but it doesn't have anything resembling dinner inside it. I think I've actually done a pretty good job so far not getting the big eye on my plans for this cruise. My initial idea involved about a 170-mile round trip, going down to Venice on the first hop, then down to Cabbage Key, back up to Venice, and back to the marina. Now I'm just thinking about hopping down to Sarasota, which is more like a 70-mile circuit. As for provisions, I've decided we can eat breakfast and dinner ashore, and all we need is a little bit to snack on for lunch. But there's nothing in the fridge resembling dinner, so I find myself shamed into sailing somewhere to get some grub. After all I've told Pete, it just doesn't seem right to have to wait until tomorrow to go sailing. It's early enough in the afternoon that we can sail somewhere for an early dinner and be back before dark.
I was going to take one of my motion pills. I'm not that I'll need since we're sitting on a boat.
Motion pills. No, nothing untoward happened. Other than I talked Pete into sitting outside in a hoodie so we could keep an eye on the boat and have a chilly dinner before heading back to the marina.
All right, so what do you make of your first day?
Well, it was good. I know that wasn't the choppiest part, but I sure didn't have any trouble with any emotion or anything.
Good.
Pete fared pretty well for our first little trip across the protected waters of Boca Ciega Bay.
We might hit a little more waves tomorrow, I'm sure, but...
But tomorrow we'll be crossing Tampa Bay.
I hear a green parakeet.
I hear your wind.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday morning, Pete and I grabbed breakfast at Stella's at 0700. I think we were actually the first customers. I wanted to get an early start so we could make the 35-mile trip to Sarasota by a reasonable hour. Preferably a happy hour. We were underway by 9:20, and by 11:40, I'd already shown Pete how we can stop traffic on a drawbridge, and had us up close and personal with the very impressive Sunshine Skyway Bridge for a photo op. Speaking of taking photos, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback from How Not to Sailors about how much y'all appreciate the little nautical tips in the podcast. Sometimes it can be hard to figure out how to incorporate them into the whole narrative style, but I suppose I could do something like this. How not to photograph a bridge. Don't even bother taking a photo of the bridge from miles away. You get zero sense of scale and a dinky little bridge in the background of your photo. The best strategy is to get right up next to it, not in the shipping lane, but close, and use a wide angle setting on your phone or camera. Put your subject up on the bow, holding on to something, of course. If you also manage to get the sun in the right place, you should have a great portrait with a huge bridge looming over everything. We'd been motoring most of the morning, but after our photo op, I planned to cut the Iron Jenny and sail a broad reach south-southeast across Tampa Bay. The forecast was for 13 knots from the east, which should be about perfect. I knew the wind was not 13 knots for a couple of reasons. One, I've never seen five dockhands meet us at the slip like they did when we reached Sarasota. And two, Brother Pete decided to lie down a spell on the cabin top as we were pitching, yawing, and rolling down Tampa Bay. I have to give him props, though. He might have looked a little uncomfortable, but he didn't feed the fish. Eventually, we got in the lee of Bradenton and held up traffic at a couple more drawbridges before sailing down Sarasota Bay to Marina Jack. The folks at Marina Jack were pretty helpful. In fact, they even asked on the VHF if I wanted to take a slip somewhere other than in between the expensive mega yachts. But being the creature of habit that I am, I told him I was familiar with D-Dock and we could keep the original slip. Sure, I'd have to back in with a bit of an unhelpful breeze, and if I missed the slip, I'd have to execute a tight turn in a narrow channel. But what the heck? Do I recommend this? I do not. Especially if you don't have money to spend on other people's mega yachts. But once again, the gods favored the stupid. I got my stern quarter onto the rubber corner of the slip and gassed her in reverse for the win. I need new hull paint anyway. I congratulated Pete, who may or may not have appreciated fully the pucker factor of getting into the slip, but was happy about faring okay on the greasy ride down. If you've been out on the water, especially the salty water, on a sailboat, you know how it can feel like somebody beat you with a 2x4 at the end of the day. In a good way, of course. For his perseverance, I took Pete to the fancy restaurant upstairs at Marina Jack, where he mentioned the room was still pitching and rolling just a little. But we ate like champs and turned in early. After all, tomorrow we'd have to retrace our path. This time without as much help from the wind.
Oh, it's nice to wake up to this.
Yes, sir.
Monday morning, and Pete didn't seem too much worse for the wear.
So what'd you make of yesterday's boating extravaganza?
Oh, I thought it was good. Definitely, it takes a toll on you up here.
Feeling like you're still moving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We headed over to O'Leary's to fuel up for the day.
Can I get a garden omelet with Swiss?
White wheat or rye bread?
Wheat's fine.
I have some thoughts on what not to eat or drink before going sailing. First of all, don't be hungover. I guess that's not something to eat or drink, but anyway. I don't recommend a lot of greasy or acidic food. A bit of non-greasy protein, maybe some bread or something like that, I find to be good ballast for the belly. Not too much or too little of anything. And I have a theory about acids. My understanding, which may be flawed, is that excess acid makes for potential nausea aboard a sailboat. So I'm skipping coffee or OJ this morning and having a water with breakfast.
I'm sure it's going to be better than the OJ now that you mention it.
Bad idea.
That'd be plenty of acid. Oof.
I haven't decided if we're going to jump out into the Gulf today, but it looks like our sailboating experience may be less than optimal.
What I don't want to do is motor all day with a following wind.
Yeah, exactly. Or going 2 knots the whole time.
Right.
If you haven't had the pleasure of motoring downwind all day in a diesel-powered vessel, you're not missing a lot. Sometimes I've had to do that for 14 hours on the crossing between the Keys and the mainland. It's a wonder I don't have an extra arm growing out of my forehead. It hasn't made me chum the waters yet, but it is not the best way to get where you're going. Of course, the only reason you'd need to be motoring downwind is if the wind is kind of light and you want to get to your destination. Today the wind is supposed to be kind of light, and we want to get to our destination. Being on a schedule is kind of the antithesis of cruising, but that's usually where I find myself. And I want to get us over to Pia's Trattoria for dinner tonight.
I'm not seeing anything that's going to get us much of anywhere without the engine.
No.
Anytime soon.
Going right into it?
No, it's behind us, but there's not a lot of it.
No.
So that means, unless we find a little extra breeze, we're going to be motoring with the following wind. We'll see how it goes. By 10:30, we're sailing up the middle of Sarasota Bay, wing and wing, which means the fickle following wind is almost dead astern. When the wind is super light and coming from directly behind you, having both the main and the jib out is kind of redundant. If I had to pick which one's better to use in that situation, well, I'd have to think about it. Probably depends on the size of your jib versus the size of your mainsail. At any rate, What I prefer to do in that circumstance is flop the jib out to the wrong side so that the main and the jib are on opposite sides of the boat. As you can imagine, it can be a little ticklish to keep one sail on the correct side of the boat and one on the wrong side. And even though I only do this when winds are light, I like to have a preventer line tied to the main boom so it can't accidentally jibe.
Oh, I tried to swing over here. Here it comes. Boom. There we go.
Just pretend you didn't hear that.
Yeah, if this had been like 20 knots of wind, that would be a disaster.
Yeah, I bet. It's got to be hard, too, on the equipment.
You can take the mast down,
right?
Since I sail by myself a lot, I've kind of gotten to where I don't even like to jibe, preferring instead to do a 270 the opposite way. The term the old sailing ships used is pretty cool. It's called to wear ship. There's nothing wrong with jibing when you mean to, but an accidental jibe, if the wind is fresh at all, is not a good thing. Anyway, when the wing and wing configuration is working, it makes for a nice picture you can impress your sailing friends with. And after all, I'd rather be making 4 knots going the right direction than 6 knots going the wrong direction.
Yeah, we slowed down to 4.2.
Good speed.
I guess it's not a bad speed, but at this rate, we won't even get our nose in the slip until 6 or 7. And I'd really like to take Pete to Pia's Italian restaurant.
How not to sail 101. Never plan too many miles in your day or in your trip. In other words, don't get the big eye.
Yeah, what are we steady at 4?
Not quite. 3.5. Yeah.
I think I've done a pretty good job so far in cutting down our expectations from some super crazy itinerary to something relatively manageable. But we're going to have to make a decision today, factoring in how fast we're going with the wind, how much diesel exhaust we want to eat, and how important it is to be back at the marina with numerous food and beverage choices.
We can push on, which would probably require diesel at some point, us eating the diesel for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Or we can take the time that it gives us with the wind.
Yeah.
The diesel option is my least favorite.
Yeah, I would say. Since we're not in any particular hurry.
You are. I'm game to see how far we get under the wind and deal with that. I'm going to need my VHF radio here shortly.
The short story is, we went out under the narrow drawbridge at Longboat Pass into the Gulf.
Longboat Pass Bridge, JC Sales, thank you much. Have a great one.
It was kind of greasy, as expected. We had to motor downwind at times, and Pete spent a little more quality time reclining on the cabin top. He mentioned working on his tan, but I'm not so sure. I'm also not sure I explicitly ever promised we'd learn something on this podcast, but another handy tip would be if someone you know is remotely prone to motion sickness in a car or any kind of normal vehicle, you may want to second guess taking them aboard a sailboat on the ocean. It worked out okay for my brother Pete, though. Didn't feed the fish once, didn't complain, seemed to have a pretty good time, in fact. I guess my point this episode is not to get the big eye, either with your itinerary or with what your guests can handle, or what you can handle for that matter. Captaining is serious work, especially when you have other folks aboard that you're responsible for. So take it easy on yourself, then keep it fun. Anyway, we did make it back to the slip in time to eat at Pia's. After some fun time at a couple of beaches the next day flying the drone and a couple more fine eateries,
my name's Simon, and I'll be helping you guys out.
It was time to drop Pete back off at the airport. I'd been doing a lot of recording this trip, which Pete had been a sport about.
By the way, do you mind if I capture this for posterity?
No, audio only, not to worry.
But I still felt kind of awkward about recording during a personal family trip. So there I was at the airport departure curb, feeling like a schlep, wishing my brother a safe flight while holding the recorder in my hand. Seemed kind of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Manipulative? But I thought we just might have a good podcast somewhere in the tape. Anyway, in true form, I didn't press the record button.
How Not to End a Podcast. Stay tuned next time when I suspect we're going to meet my friend Barry, who's an expert in how not to sail and even had an award-winning documentary about it. As it turns out, I guess I'm not the only person in the world who's learning how not to sail. I really want to get this sucker out there, so I'll be brief. I'm tickled stinkless to know that my friend Captain Dave survived the abortive delivery of the sailboat from hell. Captain Pete's got a new ankle, and we are super thankful about that. Thanks to Cliff and Laureen and Rick and Debbie for the excellent hospitality recently. Captain Julie, the Admiral, and I know exactly how it is, and we are thinking about you. Captain Mark, I suspect I will see you at the undisclosed location shortly. In fact, it may be like about 24 hours before this thing actually is released. So, is that too meta? Thanks to Maxie Freeney for his excellent mix and for getting this thing out much earlier than it would have if I were having to mix it myself. Oh, that reminds me, you can find a link to Maxie if you need an audio mix and to all the pictures and stuff from this episode, if I don't have a senior moment, at hownottosail.com/22, or /22, as you should say on the radio. Oh, and for the love of Mike, how could I forget the most important thing? Thank you for listening. Really makes things much sweeter during a crazy month like this one. I really appreciate you. If you want to help a sailor out, please drag your friends to hownottosail.com, where there's so much more than the podcast, but they can hear the podcast there. And I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
Is there a nautical term for when you're doing this?
Which thing?
Moving really slowly.